Shanghai.
You might have heard. It's about a month, in fact, a bit more than a month now, that that Chinese city, one of the biggest cities in the world, went into lockdown as COVID cases rose. I guess out of control, really, in China for the first time, maybe seriously out of control since the initial outbreak in Wuhan province, what, more than 2 years ago now, almost 2.5 years ago now. Lisa Kane lives in Shanghai, and she's been in lockdown with her partner and daughter for over a month. She joins me from there. Kia ora, Lisa. Welcome to Nights.
Hi. Hello. Day 35 is.
35. Congratulations. Whereabouts?
35.
Whereabouts do you live in Shanghai?
So I live in a suburban area called Qingpu. It's near Hongqiao International Airport, if anybody knows of the vicinity. And just to give you a kind of an idea, we've got 25 million people living in Shanghai, registered in Shanghai. I'm sure that's quite a monumentous thought for you guys in New Zealand.
It is.
And our communities are, like, we live in gated communities. I'll refer to it as a neighbourhood, more casually referred to as a compound, but I sometimes think that conjures up a bit negative connotations. So neighbourhood sounds a bit nicer. And in the neighbourhood that I live in, there's about 400 households here. So just to give you an idea of what that looks like. I live near the school that I work in. I work in an international school. And on the compound itself, there's about 5 Western families. The rest of the families are all Chinese.
And the apartment building you live in, how many stories in that apartment?
This one's quite low level. We have 8 stories in ours, so 2 apartments on each side of the stairs. So 16 in our block.
What does lockdown Shanghai style mean?
Yeah, we're currently all trying to make sense of this. One of the big lessons is just try not to make sense of anything. We're indoors, so the initial idea, the initial information that went out is that if somebody tested positive for COVID in your neighbourhood, you would all be 7 days locked down inside, so you cannot leave the house at all. And then following clearance, you would be 7 days that you could walk around your neighbourhood, and then depending on what happened then, you could then go out and about. So we've not had any positive cases in our neighbourhood for 10 days now. We are allowed to walk around the compound, the neighbourhood, and from 3 days ago, 4 days ago, which is lovely, but still no sign of when we can go beyond the gates, basically.
Okay, so what you're saying, Lisa, is you can't leave the gate. So you can, is there a kind of courtyard area or garden area you can wander outside of now? Or inside of?
Yeah, we've got a walk-in path that just goes around the buildings, basically, and you can. And you see people out running, you see and hear kids out on bikes and stuff. Everybody's just desperate to get a bit of air and burn off the energy after 31 days inside. Now, this is just my neighborhood. I've got friends that live in the neighborhood next to me. They've just went back into lockdown again. So they had a couple of days outside. Somebody tested positive in their compound. So they're back to day zero. And again, no idea. Beyond this, absolutely no idea what that looks like.
What's it like when the building is sealed? I assume, does that mean what the doors are locked or guarded?
So there, it can look different to different areas. So I must say, we've got a really nice neighbourhood, a very caring neighbourhood. So they put a bench at the front door of the apartment, that takes you outside, and there was a guards posted there. So there was one day that I went to go out, just wondering what was going on, of course, and I was told emphatically, no, you cannot come out the building. So, just came back up inside. In other parts, I've seen social media reports of people being physically sealed in their house with alarms on doors, fences being put up. And It's hard to know. It's hard to know where the information's coming from. It's hard to know with these sort of circulars, what is recent, what is actually Shanghai. The experience that I hear friends from other compounds having is it's a very clear you don't go out, and people like they follow that guidance. There might be a bit of tape across the door just to make a demarcation, but I haven't personally heard of any kind of horror stories. And where I live, it's, the bed was against the door, and you knew you don't go out, so that was it.
You didn't, did you ever have a point where you couldn't even leave the apartment at all? You had to stay inside your
Yeah, so
apartment. You did.
that first 30 days, nobody was leaving their apartments. You could open your door to put the rubbish out, like the trash out, and that was it. You couldn't cross at all. Yeah.
How did you get your
Yeah.
food
And there's
then?
still actually some neighborhood. So what they would do is they bring the food. Oh my God, that was another. I felt like a cave woman. Like, no wonder cave people died so young. The stress levels involved in hunting, gathering are phenomenal. They bring the food down into the basement and then they send it up in the elevator. You can collect it. But there had to be a time lag between the time where they put the food up. You had to give them time to leave the building in order for you to pick it up again. So just to prevent that, it's very, very closed loop management. So very wary of any kind of contamination, cross-contamination. Even now, if we get deliveries of food, it's from government trusted, like certified places. You can't buy as an individual. So none of the stuff that I'm choosing to buy is my request. It's all group buys. It's preset, predetermined boxes. And when it comes to you, it's been disinfected. When you receive it, you're advised again to disinfect the packages before you take them out. It's quite a procedure.
And Lisa, how
Quite a
often did you
procedure.
find that you didn't quite have, if it's predetermined by somebody else and not you, if your knowledge of your household and what you do and don't have, that the consignments didn't have what you needed?
You have to be inventive. So I find a couple of really good websites where you can just plug in the contents of like what you have in your cupboards or your fridge, and they'll give you recipes that you could be able to make. So, like, you're not planning. And I guess this is one of the sort of reflections from it. Like, for the first time, I realized what it was like to be privileged because I thought I've never actually had to question. What am I going to eat? What are the determining factors about my access to food? I've never had to experience that in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm in this position where, hang on a second, I'm not deciding what I want to eat. I'm not choosing what I want to make for dinner. It's all externally influenced. And it's that kind of situation where you can get really hung up on those things, and that can become your focus and detriment, and it does happen. Like it is a roller coaster. Or you can think, okay, here's what I've got. How can I be creative with it? So I've learned to make lots of food. I've begun to understand how important eggs are for Chinese people. I don't think I really understood that before. Eggs are a big thing. And also the other big takeaway is actually the power of community. Like one of the boxes that I had oranges in it, and nobody in my house eats oranges. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to waste these. So I just put them outside my door. And each building has their own sort of group chat, if you like, on a platform called WeChat. It's kind of like a WhatsApp. And I just said, I've got oranges. I won't eat them. Does anybody want them? And then a couple of people were like, oh, are you sure? Like you're giving away food. And I'm like, I don't want to waste it. And so from there, what's happened is we've got this lovely kind of food community going on now where all the neighbors will post if they've got any excess in their boxes because it's the same box that would arrive for a family of six as it would for a family of two or one even. So we have this little food exchange going on. After I gave out the oranges, somebody texted from the building to say, my mother's just made some dumplings. Do you guys eat pork? Do you want some dumplings? So I got a bag of dumplings, and then this exchange has just now became a way of life. And on the groups, it would be like people saying, does anybody have? And then you have this, you know, system of like sharing or trading as well, trading food. And yeah, you learn to live very differently.
Lisa,
you can't afford.
How big's your apartment, Lisa?
We've got 3 bedrooms. We're really lucky at the size of our apartment. I think that's been a bit of a saving grace. Both myself and my husband are working online and my daughter was studying. So we could each have a space where we could be in and not be kind of disturbing each other.
But what about exercise, Lisa?
The exercise. So we've got a little balcony, and it's 10 strides long, our balcony outside our living area. And that was, we just said, okay, let's make sure we try and get our 10,000 steps up. And we would stride up and down that balcony 5-6 times a day until we were able to hit our 10,000 steps.
What music did you have in your headphones? Did you have any music on the stereo or something to keep you moving?
Oh, yeah, you had to. I actually got back into Desert Island Discs, listening to the back catalogue of Desert Island Discs, discovering tunes that I'd forgotten about or hadn't heard of before.
Desert Island Discs, that's the show
stories.
That's the BBC show where somebody
is
a guest and they talk about their favourite pieces of music. We have something called the mixtape over here. Lisa, the one thing I'm hearing in the background, and one wouldn't expect to hear in the background in one of the biggest cities in the world, I'm hearing bird song.
Birds.
Now,
isn't it beautiful?
Is Shanghai, what's it like in terms of, is it a lot quieter than it would normally be? And is that a blessing, a consolation?
Yeah, the roads are quiet, so only vehicles with permission are allowed to be on the roads right now. So that would be essential workers. And when I say essential workers, I'm meaning like utterly essential, not like government offices or anything like that. Everything is shut down. And between the regions, there's barricades on the road. So if you were to get permission to go out for like an emergency appointment or whatever, you would be crossing several barriers and you would have to show papers. It all sounds very dystopian. It is very dystopian. But it's super, super quiet. So no vehicles on the road right now, except those that are deemed essential for delivery. Where I live, there's a canal on two sides of the compound perimeter. And we hear a lot of birds, which I think, again, just being able to access that bit of soothing and that bit of quiet has really been a saving grace. Like for me, hearing the birds, it's just a reminder of being at home and the calm and the chill and one of my happy places.
Is the air cleaner? Do you feel that a cleanliness in the air that you wouldn't normally feel?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, it has been better from, like, we've been here for 12 years now. And I would say 12 years ago, at this time of the year, you would be spending quite a lot of time inside and you would be masked up for sure if you were going outside. Now you're wearing masks for a completely different reason, but the air is clear. It's beautiful blue skies here today. Very, very clean. Yeah.
Does it help that it's spring, or is that a source of frustration, given you can now walk outside your apartment, but you can't leave the gates?
Yeah. I think it would be worse if it was winter. It would be worse if it was wet. It would be like a bit more depressing and bleak, perhaps. I think it's nice that you have the light coming in. It's nice that you can open the windows and hear the birds and kind of try and fool yourself a little bit into thinking you were somewhere else. But yeah, I think the frustration more comes from the not knowing what's happening beyond the day to day. Not being clear on the information, the goalposts being continually moved. Like this started off as a 4-day lockdown just to test everybody in the city and get an idea of numbers. So to go from what you perceive to be a 4-day containment to being like 35 days. That's kind of beyond belief in a lot of ways.
Well,
So,
I'm looking,
yeah.
Lisa, at just this is just the wiki cases in Shanghai. 7-day average of about 1,600 new cases, 3rd May. So this is a little bit old, 263. You've got no idea when the authorities will say, right, we can loosen things up, or are they saying it's when it's back to zero?
It started off being back to zero, and then recently, like within the last few days, they changed the parameters and they changed the terminology, and I haven't actually read it. I find that when you read it and then you start to feel excited about what might happen, like getting beyond the gates, then you're disappointed. So I've not actually assimilated the new terminology yet, but it seems very clear that they're still going for COVID zero.
Now I can hear children playing in the
And I've got
background.
a lot of friends. Yeah, they're outside. I can hear them. I have a lot of friends that have now decided to return back to their home countries. Everybody's got their threshold, and that's sad. That's sad that people are leaving, and this is their memory of their last days. We are planning to return back home in the summer. That was always part of our plan this year. And it's sad that, the bucket list, we didn't quite get to tick everything off, those things that you left for the last adventures. But yeah, it's a strange time. And you live in the day to day, and you find ways to cope with it, and you find ways to not let it bother you, because you can switch gear very, very easily and think about, what about personal rights? What about choice? What about freedom? What about, and I just find that those are the things right now that I have no control over whatsoever. So it doesn't pay well to focus on them. Or you can look for the little bits of nice that's happening. The fact that I've got to know my neighbours, I didn't know anybody really. You got up, you went to work, you would see a few faces and say hello, like ni hao. But to get to know people to the point that, we're sharing food, and those are the gems, if you like, and that's what keeps you motivated. I've had people in other buildings reach out, see me in food groups trying to get like food, and just get in touch and say, you look like you need help. What can we do? What can we get you? Like, what do you need? And checking in, like strangers checking in to say, are you okay? And I think that's amazing that in amongst that, people are stopping and taking the time to think about essentially the foreigners in their neighborhood. And yeah, that's the part.
Lisa, it's been lovely talking with you. I do hope that things loosen up for you soon. And but thanks so much for your time and all the very best.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye. That's Lisa Kane. She's a Scottish woman currently in Shanghai in lockdown with her partner and their daughter, day 35.